Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Today's show is part of our Classics Collection, which is a series of select rebroadcasts. Some programs just need to be brought back because of their impact. Here's another one. I'm joined with my guests, Dr. Joshua Vitting and Bernie Vitting. Their story is sure to touch you. Be inspired. Listen. Enjoy. Better to recognize something special and feature it rather than wait for a certain time of the year when everyone celebrates it. And that's our situation today. You know, last week we featured Bernie Vitting as our guest. Came from the East Coast via Samoa. Tall, white-haired man whom you'd never think spoke Samoan. But more than that, what captured the hearts was his love for people and his stories of God's provision, which he shared about with regards to his wife, Si'u, and their family. Well, today, his son, Joshua Vitting, is also with us. Josh is in his final year of medical school at the University of Hawaii, John A. Burns School of Medicine. He's a graduate of Iolani School. And by the way, Bernie is an elder at Christ Church at Kapolei. And Joshua is a member of Grace Bible Church. And he's strongly involved in the university ministry. In fact, today he just got done speaking to a group of students at Iolani School. He does that quite often, not only there, but at other schools as well. Joshua is married to Malin. Bernie, Josh, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Danny.
Right.
You know, as we get into it, Bernie, kind of give us, I mean, you know, you have a number of children, and Josh is, but you, tell us about the story of how Josh came to be with us.
Sure. We have five children, and first we had three girls. We had Sherry, our oldest, and then the twins, Rachel and Becca. And my wife was seriously sick with morning sickness through both pregnancies. And the delivery of the twins was especially difficult. But Danny, I had always wanted a son, and it wasn't just a normal father wanting to have a son, but it also had to do with my family. We have a rare last name. It comes from the islands that in Norway that were once called Vitting Island. Now they're called Kvitsøy, which means White Island. And my grandfather had changed his name from with using one D to two Ds. And so that made it even more rare because we were the only ones that we know of with that name spelled with two Ds. And he had two sons, my father and another son. But my uncle passed away before he ever got married. And my father, that left him being the only person to carry on that last name. So he had five sons, and we all thought that with five boys, that the perpetuation of the name would be assured. But that didn't really happen because my brothers ended up having all girls. And so when my wife, after we had the three girls, our heart's desire was really for a son. But the twins were born in November of 1978. In May of 1979, my wife and I, we just totally dedicated our lives to the Lord, and we began serving Him in whatever way that we could. At about 4 months after that time, my wife told me, she says, honey, she says, I'm pregnant again. And I said, wonderful. And she says, no, not wonderful. This is She says, I just can't go through another pregnancy again. And that provoked a crisis because, for me, I didn't know what to do. I was stuck. I felt, like you said, Danny, I felt totally helpless. And that evening, after my wife told me this, that she was pregnant again, and this is just because she just missed a period, and she knew the feeling mm-hmm. already. And by that time, I was the leader of the intercessory prayer group. It was on a Tuesday evening, and so I went to church. And it was a good thing, too, because it gave me a chance just to pour out my heart to the Lord. And so while we were in individual prayer, I was just pleading to God, you know, Lord, what am I going to do? I have, you know, the thought of having an abortion, of course, crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. And I said, absolutely cannot. That's murder. I felt totally stuck. And so I just laid it all out before the Lord. And the Lord really responded. He said, I could almost as if I could hear his voice, but I just felt him speaking directly to my mind. And he says, Bernie, he says, don't you worry. He says, I'm in control of the situation, and I want to tell you something. Your wife is pregnant with a son. Well, he's going to be a boy. Number two is she's not going to feel sick at all during this pregnancy, not like with the girls. So she's not going to go through the trauma that she went with the girls. And number three, he's going to be a blessing to you and to others. Hmm. I have a special call on his life. Hmm. And so I really couldn't wait to get home to tell. See, I couldn't tell anybody else. You know, when God shares something with you, sometimes you feel like nobody's going to believe this. You know, I'm going to lose credibility. People are going to cancel my vote if I tell anybody. Or they're going to think I'm super religious or something, and I didn't feel that way at all. So when I got home, I told my wife, and she says, well, we'll see, honey, okay, but we're just going to trust God. We're just going to trust God for this. That's the best thing we can do. About a week or two later, she says, you know, honey, but the Lord was right. He said, I don't even feel like I'm pregnant. It's different from last time. And sure enough, we found out later, about a month or so before Josh was born, that indeed he was going to be a boy. And by that time, too, she hadn't been sick one single day. Oh. She felt many times she told me, boy, this is strange. I don't even feel like I'm pregnant. But she was getting bigger. And then I realized, you know, God has answered the first two parts. And that's when, if anybody had asked me, I was willing to share. They said, well, what's it going to be? Oh, it's going to be a boy. God told me he's going to be a boy. See, and sure enough, when Josh was born and began to take care of him, we assumed our full duties as parents, at least for a father. I can't do too much except to encourage my wife while she was pregnant. The delivery was difficult, but that didn't matter because, you know, at least for me, it did for my wife. But God had given us a son. You know, since that time, many people have come to me when Josh was growing up, and they said, it told me about many different ways about how Josh was a blessing to them. And it was something that I already knew because he was such a blessing to us. Mm-hmm. Josh has never been the rebellious son. We've never had problems. We've been done things together, so we've established a very strong bond together. He was never difficult to raise. He didn't cry for no reason. He was actually fun to take care of as a baby. Mm. We just loved to take care of him. And people who were babysat with Josh, they loved taking care of him because he would make them laugh. Wow. And do things. He was a happy baby.
Hmm. Well, thanks for sharing that, Bernie.
That's awesome because, you know, I've had the privilege of knowing Josh for the last couple of years, and man, he is a blessing. I was just talking to a friend who said, you know, Josh is the nicest guy in Hawaii. I said, no, that's not true. He's the nicest guy on the planet. And we all had a little chuckle about that. But, you know, Malin, you can call in and answer that question. But, you know, I mean, so it seems like God really answered that. That prophetic word was coming true about Josh just being a blessing. Well, Josh, I mean, tell us, what was it like, you know, for you growing up in this family, and how was God kind of shaping you through being, you know, in this family?
I really did enjoy growing up in our family, but you don't really realize it until you have something to compare it to. I think it's similar to where when I grew up in Waianae, you know, I thought it was just like any other place until I went to Iolani. It was just a little different from the two. And the more I work with many families, many of them having, you know, family dysfunctions in the area I'm interested in, which is child psychiatry, I realize how much of a blessing our family was. Just of parents that, you know, loved God, and especially in the environment I grew up in, where I think I look at our neighborhood, I think our family was the only family, including my siblings, to actually go to college and finish college. And I look around at the rest of the neighborhood, and that really didn't happen. And the one difference wasn't the education. We went to the same schools as everybody else. I think it was having parents that that feared God, that you know, lived it out. You know, they had their struggles, their challenges, but just being faithful with God, they were good role models. Yeah.
Well.
Wow, Josh, that's amazing. I got to meet Josh about a month or so ago, and we actually connected, and you are a really nice guy. Looking forward to what God has planned for you, I tell you, and the roles that I can play to help you out. But, you know, after meeting your dad and hearing his story and meeting you and hearing your story, tell me what kind of – describe the impact that your dad – had, your father had in your life, and the impact that your mother had in your life.
There's something that I I think it was in my dad's career. I think that's something that many men are actually creating examples to their sons by the way they live their the way they carry out their career. With my father, he was actually a businessman for a while, then actually went into social work. And as a child, I always asked, Dad, why don't we have more money? And, you know, I'm sure there's many kids always asking that. But now I look back now, and he made the right choice. He shifted careers into social work. I think part of it was to be home, to be a father. And I think that's one of the biggest struggles in the United States today is fathers that are absent from the home. They provide financially, but not relationally. And I think that was a good example. My dad was, but even on a greater level, I work a lot in a lot of homeless shelters currently, and there's always that issue of family breakdown. And there was one thing that I really admired with my father was he was able to start an initiative in the Waianae area where he was worked with the Child Protective Services doing abuse investigations, and he was able to I think do something beyond himself where he got a lot of grandparents in this church that we attended, which is Paradise Chapel in the Waianae area, and simply got these grandparents to become foster parents into the community. So it did two things. I think one, it addressed a dire social need that is here today. It addressed that social need. But the second thing, the much deeper issue, is it also addressed the spiritual need where these parents or foster parents were also sharing Jesus with their foster children just by bringing them to church. I thought it was a phenomenal example of dealing with family breakdown that we really are really faced with currently. I think that's something that I really admire with my father. With my mother, something very similar. She works in a psychiatric ward here at Queens, which is the one area most people wouldn't even want to go to. And, you know, those are the very people you don't want to deal with. It's kind of like helping the least of these. And that's what I really admire about my mother, whereas that's her ministry is being a nurse, being a psychiatric nurse, which you ask many registered nursing students if they would want to go into psychiatric nursing, and that's usually not the highest on the list. But here is my mother, I think, using that area as a ministry.
And she's done that for so many years, huh?
Yeah, many, many years, yeah.
You know, we're just getting started in a lot of ways here, getting to know Joshua Vitting. We got to know his father, Bernie Vitting, a little bit. Well, we're going to take a break now, but when we come back, we want to hear more about not only what you're doing now, but what fueled it, you know. We know the family. divine putting together, you coming into this family. And it's really neat because it's at the crossroads now, because God is getting ready to expand your influence and expand your reach and ministry. And as you're listening today, we believe that God wants to expand some things in your life as well. So stay with us. We'll talk about more of that when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm grateful you're joining us today. You're listening to a special rebroadcast program, which is part of the Classics Collection of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about our show, along with other resources for living the good life, and to find out how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. I'm joined by my co-hosts, Alfredo Canencia, Billy Lyle, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry. Here's more with our guests, Dr. Joshua Vitting and Bernie Vitting. You know, you may be thinking, gee whiz, look at this father and son right here in our studio today. And I wish my daughter or my son, I wish, you know, things worked out just that way. But you know what? You know, 20 years ago, Bernie's situation may not have seemed to be like it is right now. He couldn't tell. He wouldn't have been able to know. He was holding on to a promise of what God had placed in his heart. And I'm sure, he can attest to it, there were times when things looked pretty grim, when perhaps, Bernie, you might have even wondered, did God forget? No, we know God doesn't forget. But sometimes you feel like that. Perhaps right now in your life, you are holding on to a dream or a promise that God put in your heart, but you're going through such a difficult time right now in your situation. It could be in a family member, a friend. It could be at your job. It could be your finances. It could be your health. And you're thinking, but what happened? what happened? Did I blow it? Did I blow it so bad that there's no way to turn back? You know, but here we can get some tremendous encouragement, because I know Bernie, and you can relate with this.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, Danny, 2 years after Josh was born, that was the time when I left my job and business, or I was actually laid off, I'd turned down a promotion. And I remember very well being on unemployment, and we were receiving food stamps. And I remember going to the store and buying a pound of margarine because it was 95 cents? Well, it would come out to $1. And so I would get 99 cents change by using the food stamps so that I could get bus fare, say 50 cents. And that's how close we were to the line in our budget. When I left that job, we had about almost $4,000 in debt, like credit card debt and medical bills and so forth. And, you know, that really weighed heavily on me. How am I going to take care of my family, Lord? And I felt like, you know, here I'm supposed to be, I'm serving the Lord with all my heart now. Aren't I supposed to be prosperous? Mm-hmm. But, I honestly believe that the Lord had a lot of things to teach us. And we were learning to rely on the Lord, to trust Him, and those are faith-building things. When I look back on it now, I thank the Lord for that time. Mm-hmm. I really do, because that's when we came face-to-face with tithing, and we learned to tithe. That was the hardest part in our life, to tithe, because we needed all 100% of what we had coming in to live on, and so we knew that tithing that 10% was going to leave us short, and we were that close. But, you know, our expenses went down. One medical bill that was quite a bit was just totally forgiven, and next thing you know, we were caught up on our debts within about a year or two. But I remember being in church one day and just crying out to God, and I said, God, how am I going to take care of my family? You know, and we have four small kids, but you know, Joshua was 2 years old, 3 years old at the time. And I really heard I talk about hearing God's voice, but I just felt this assurance from God that if I'm faithful and obedient to Him, we're going to come through all this, but God is going to take care of my family. Mm. And He's going to provide for them. And so I said, well, what about education? What about this? Mm-hmm. And you know, I visited my brothers on the mainland. I have very successful brothers. One is a college professor. The other one was a dentist. The other one is an executive at that time with a large oil company. And I'd see their houses, these beautiful mm-hmm. houses, you know. They're really well off. And I said, Lord, you know, but what about me? You know? And I felt kind of jealous. You know, I felt like, you know, well, what's the benefit of serving God? And it was a very, very selfish feelings. Mm-hmm. But those are feelings that you have. But when God told me, He said, "Don't worry. I'm going to take care of your children." And we dedicated all of our children to the Lord. When Josh was born, we took them all to church, and we had, you know, that ceremony where we just turned them all over to the Lord. And from that time on, we really considered ourselves as stewards of God's children.
Wow.
See, and so that made us responsible to God for what happens to our children.
And this faithfulness that you lived out and modeled for your family is what Josh said in the previous segment really motivated him and inspired mm-hmm. him to live the way he's living now, and now being, you know, a blessing to so many people. Josh, tell us maybe an example of how the faithfulness you've seen in your father was translated into the way that you conducted your life even now. I mean, you were a campus minister for a little while, and now you're, you know, going to medical school, and it's not just so that you can be a rich doctor, but you want to be used by God in so many ways. Tell us about the faithfulness and how it translated from your dad to you.
Well, one thing is I've actually looked at my dad's financial records, and what shocked me the most was in 1983, we only had an income of about $8,000. So I don't know how anybody with four kids living in Hawaii can get by with $8,000 without robbing a store. Or
I don't know how we did it either. Only by the grace of God.
Yeah, so that's a miracle. But even to see my father now, and even look at their, you know, financial statements, where I think the fact that they tithe. What's so neat about tithing is that in order to tithe, you got to know what 10% is, and in order to know what 10% is, you got to know what's fully coming in. And I think it taught me to be a good manager of your finances, of regardless of how much you do have or do not have. I think that's really helped me. And the last thing is also to trust in God. Many times throughout school, there's actually been a real blessing growing up in Waianae and also being on financial assistance, because when I applied for college scholarships, they asked you certain questions, and part of it too is, have you ever been on federal aid? And I could say yes. So it actually helped me in terms of getting scholarships and different types of aids. And I think the biggest thing has been just learning to trust in God. One of the biggest ones was when I applied for medical school. I only applied to UH. I just wanted to come here, and my thought was, you know, well, if I don't get in, there's 1,700 people applying for 65 spots. I'll just, you know, do ministry and build cars. You know, that's what I'll just keep on waiting. And I got in on the first shot, and then there was the issue of, okay, and now I need money, God. And what was so funny, when I was doing ministry before, I was never in debt. You know, God just seemed to provide, which still blows me today. And when I applied for medical school, and there's the cost right now is about $25,000 per year. Wow. Then somebody donated $1 million. It was the Barry and Virginia Wyman couple that actually donated, and they ended up giving me a full ride to University of Hawaii, which was phenomenal.
Wow, Josh. So, you know, your dad's test is today's testimony, and as blessings continue to flow, you can actually see those blessings starting to flow in your life, and now you have your own testimonies. Tell us a little bit about your Christian walk, and how did you get into becoming a Christian and walking that life?
We grew up in church. Part of it was with my parents' influence, and that does have a key aspect. But it wasn't until college that I think I really learned how to make it my own. And I think that was a time where my parents had to really kind of let go and let God. And I met with this campus minister, whose name was Aaron Courtney. And he was a few years older. And what was so helpful was that he understood my culture. He could speak the language of my culture and my generation that I think my parents couldn't speak. They could pray, but there was a culture they couldn't speak. And he was such a great role model and influence in terms of helping me lay a Christian foundation in order to see the problems in my generation and seeing how the Bible addressed it, the answers that God had for it. He did that as just by meeting one-to-one, but also just the way he lived out his life as well.
Awesome.
I think it's awesome about what you're sharing is this the power of example, because, you know, so your father was an amazing example to you growing up, and now you're a lot like him. You know, when I first met you last week, Bernie, I was like, wow, that's where Josh gets it from. You know, he's a lot like you. And then the example of the campus minister that reached out to you, because you turned around and went into campus ministry to be an example for other young people. And I think that that's just such a powerful message to all of us, that the example that we set with our lives, whether we know it or not, is going to affect not just you and your family, but generations and generations to follow. And Bernie, you know, last week after the show, we were talking about just the generational transfer that you've seen in your life. I don't know if you want to mention that just a little bit. It's kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah. It's almost, well, how far do we go back? And
you're talking about from his dad.
From my dad and my mother. They were in missionary work. And my mother's mother, my maternal grandmother, she was a farmer in Oregon. Her husband, my grandfather, died at a fairly young age, but she was always a minister. It's not, no matter what she did, she started a Bible class in Clackamas County, Oregon, and now she's, I understand she's recognized as the founder of the town, because that's what started the town, was her Bible class. And she went to Florida and started a mission to black people in Florida. And so my mother and father went to Florida. We lived 7 years in Florida while they were both doing missionary work there. And my mother started teaching school there. So my parents were an example to me. But then they told me stories about people even further back. You know, there was, on my dad's mother's side, the Solis from it's not, they're not Samoan, they're from Norway. But their last name was Soli. And there was an ancestor named Karen Soltnek. that Dad said that she sold everything she had. She sold her land, her property, and donated everything to the evangelical reform movement that was going on. And people had said that her descendants would be blessed because of the sacrifice that she made to God. And Dad said they've always considered themselves blessed because of that.
You know, Bernie, we're going to take a break right now, but you know, I want to hear more about the Solis. <You know? laughs> We're going to take a break, but hey, you know what? I think part of what we need to talk about when we come back is really, you know, someone at some point had to make a decision. Maybe God imparted into them that a generation and the generations to come will make a difference, and someone made a distinct choice. And then it set something in motion, and it was set forth spiritually, and it has had impact. And maybe you're that person right now that needs to make a decision, and maybe it's in this moment of crisis, maybe in this moment of ease, but a decision needs to be made. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinetta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. It's good that you're with us today. How will things unfold from your current situation? Have you ever wondered that? Well, our guests today are sharing how things have unfolded in their life. This is a special rebroadcast as part of the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show's Classics Collection. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org to receive ministry resources and also discover how to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, let's take in more of the Good Life along with my co-hosts, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Alfredo Canencia, and Billy Lyle, our featured guests. He has since become Dr. Joshua Vitting and his father, Bernie Vitting.
Earlier in our show, you know, Bernie was sharing just about what an awesome son Josh is and just the blessing that he's been. And just I mean, I don't know about any of you that are listening, but I'm thinking, man, I want my kid to turn out like that, you know, easy, blessing. Everyone just loves him and he's just making an impact in the world. And, you know, but we don't realize a lot of times that just doesn't come magically and automatically, but it's an inheritance even from God, mm-hmm. you know, that comes generations back. I mean, just thinking about the choice you made, Bernie, to surrender to God and start living for him because you wanted your kids to grow up with a Christian
right.
father.
That's
but it
right.
goes even further back, mm-hmm. Which is resulting today in Josh. Tell us mm-hmm. about the generations before that set this chain in motion.
Yeah, well, thank you, Billy, because that brings to mind my great-grandfather. He is the one who immigrated from Norway. He was a ship captain. He owned his own ship for working many years for a shipping company in Stavanger, Norway. And one day he was going across the North Atlantic to America with his ship, and they ran into a northeastern, you know, storm, a northeaster they call them, and it was huge waves and wind and storm. But he was actually alcoholic. I think he was known for being a real wild man, wild living, drinking all the time, running around with the women, all that kind of stuff. And here he is during this storm, and he's drunk as a skunk. And this, according to how my father told it to me, he went out on the deck of the ship, and as he was out on the deck there, inebriated, a huge wave came and swept him off the boat. Off the ship, and he's out there in the cold. Of course, that kind of woke him up. I think it sobered him up real quick.
Sure.
And he called out to God in his moment of crisis. I can't imagine a worse crisis. You know, he's dying, and he cries out to God, and he says, "God, if you save me from this situation, I'll stop my carousing and drinking. And I'll give up drinking altogether, and I'll even get out of this life and sell my ship. And when I get to America, and I'll serve you for the rest of my life."
Wow.
And as soon as he prayed that prayer, another big wave came and took him right back up on the deck where he was, deposited him right back on the ship.
Wow.
And when he got to America, that's exactly what he did. He sold his ship and he took up farming in Minnesota. And he had one son and 14 daughters. Now, the son was my grandfather who changed the name, added an extra D to the name and made it unique. But I've heard that story from the time I was kind of small, and Joshua knows it, but apparently he did that. He served his life, and then his son, my grandfather, did the same as well. But he didn't start out that way. He started out pretty much like my great grandfather had, drinking and carousing, but he surrendered his life to the Lord as well.
Mm.
And so it's been generational to my father.
And it continued on even to you, where you weren't serving the Lord in the beginning, but you had to come to
That's
a place
right.
of surrender.
I had to find out about God on my own. And the example of my parents was huge for me too, as well. Because I always thought back at how loving they were, how just the lack of prejudice that they had. Here they're working with black people in the South during the height of the civil rights. The sacrifices my parents made, I saw the love that they had for the Lord, for God, and it expressed itself in love for the people. They were always taking in people. My dad was always bringing stray dogs home. It's just they loved everything, you know. They loved everybody, and I knew they loved me.
Wow.
And, even though, you know, our parents all have shortcomings, and I'm not the perfect parent either, but God helps us to overcome those shortcomings.
What I think is amazing is just this whole chain of, you know, parents being a good example. And then at some point, you have to make a decision to follow God, and that begins the cycle again into your descendants. And then even Josh had to make a decision in college, he shared in the last segment, to follow God, and this is now beginning a new chain in his life. And I was just thinking, for all of us that are listening, maybe we've screwed up the first half of our lives or whatever it may be. There's still that place of making a decision, you know, to commit to God, and that begins that same cycle of blessing in your life and then into your descendants, who then can make that same choice. But it all comes back down to that choice, and that's what starts it all.
It's scary to make that choice, though, because what you're really doing is you're turning over control of your life to God. And that's a very hard thing to do, because we don't want to give up control.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have the control in our life. But finally, I got to that point where I realized that I didn't have any control anyway. I couldn't control my smoking. I couldn't control, you know, our baby dying, Rebecca, whether she was going to die or not. It was I realized how helpless I really was in this world.
And that's what that scares people about surrendering. But that's the first domino, you know, as it were, that starts the chain of receiving and blessing and being used.
That's right.
Yeah, in light of that, so what about you, Josh? What you know, what's your take and perspective on the dynamic and importance of making decisions?
I see that quite a bit in my line of work, where when I'm dealing with children that have a lot of emotional problems, a lot of it's been it's behavior. They call it behavior modeling, or it's what they see and they do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now I realize how blessed I am to just see parents who are just trying their best, and now how much of a reflection it's had upon me. What my dad doesn't say much is the fact that you can't see it, but he's super white. and you think it's crazy where he was a Child Protective Service investigator doing investigations in Waianae. And you call that
he's could be even arguably whiter than white.
Whiter than white, a great white hope. I don't know if you want to call, but and some people he calls it ministry, but some people may call it psychotic. To do something like that. But I think it was such a great role model for me to where now I'm in an area of medicine and I have to choose which direction I go, and I have to remember. I think one thing that Billy has taught me, he always told me, was saying, it's about people, not programs. It's not about, some great training, but really about, am I impacting people the way Jesus would want me to? And I think that's, I've also found that to be the most fulfilling thing in my life as well.
We've got Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry here in our studio as part of our broadcast team now. And, he's a warrior. And he is a warrior. He knows what it's like to fight in modern-day war. And I know when we've talked about the importance of decision-making and having to make decisions quickly. And how dynamic are these decisions? And, Master Sergeant, as we look at Bernie and his great-grandfather and the decision that was made, I'm wondering today, what your thoughts are on people that are listening here to our program who may need to make some decisions as well, or maybe not even decisions, too complicated, just one decision. I wonder what your thoughts are.
It's a two-sided thing because examples have been set. And for those that are walking with the Lord, most of the time, it's not what you say to a person, but your actions that really can get them over to that next step. And Bernie, it was an example how Josh said he monitored how you did things and even monitored the sacrifice that you made to build relations with him and the family to continue the family to grow. So I would challenge the Christian that it is the things, the examples that we set, the things that we do that win people over. But for those that are right there, if you decisions, the decision that you make is a split decision, but it will charter the course of your life for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. So
forever, really.
Forever. Mm-hmm. That absolutely right. So if you're right there right now and maybe you feel like you're not worthy of the things that you have heard here, and that can't happen to you because it don't happen to the ordinary person, that's not so. You can either be a product of your environment or you can make one decision that will change your life forever.
Mm. Amen.
And that decision, oddly enough, can be at this moment. God, some of the most important meetings that I've had that have made a difference in the Lord's charting a course in my life have been in some of the most innocuous places. Completely unexpected. I didn't wake up. It wasn't scheduled. I didn't wake up planning, or I didn't even have anxiety over it because I didn't even know. I was just, living day to day, and then all of a sudden I come into contact with somebody. But a decision was made at a certain point, just like how you had to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, Josh, you have to make decisions too. And perhaps today the Lord is whispering to you ever so gently, but ever so firmly and lovingly, that a decision needs to be made in your life. And ironically, the decision may not be the easiest place, because sometimes challenges, crises, difficulties cause us to think in ways that we don't normally think when we are in a place of ease. But today, maybe it's your day before the Lord to make a choice. When we come back, we'll talk more with Bernie and Joshua Vitting, along with my broadcast team. We'll talk more with you about making a choice. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. Thanks for joining us today. This is a special rebroadcast presented by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show as part of our Classics Collection, providing a connection with stories of faith and life from our featured guests. If you're asking, how can I have a relationship with Jesus like Bernie and Dr. Josh Vitting, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org, click the Get to Know Jesus tab. We have more resources too there at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, joining me and my co-hosts, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Alfredo Canencia, and Billy Lyle, Dr. Joshua Vitting and his father, Bernie Vitting.
Welcome back to our show. If you've been listening to us, we've been having just a great conversation with Bernie Vitting here and his son, Josh, and just the awesome testimony of a generational transfer, that when we surrender ourselves to God and obey Him, the blessings get handed down from generation to generation. And maybe you're listening today and you're saying, man, my family hasn't really experienced much blessing generationally. Well, maybe you're the one, we're the ones to start a cycle of blessing. And maybe your commitment to Christ would be that first domino that starts this chain reaction. And, you know, just kind of looking at, you know, father and son sitting here, and, you know, I know Josh for many years, and just seeing that he's kind of the next domino to fall in this cycle of blessing. But it's not going to end with you, is it, Josh? I mean, you want to use your life to make an impact for Christ and to the world. And tell us about it. You're in med school now, your last year, but where do you see yourself going? Mm. And what do you see yourself doing as a perpetuation of this cycle of blessing?
Yeah, okay. I've really thought hard about. I'm actually hoping to go into a child psychiatry, and the reason for this is it's one of the most needed areas of medicine. There's only about 5,000 psychiatrists, when the actual need of child psychiatrists is about 20,000. But the biggest impact really has it's been simply in this area I found it the most viable area for me to do ministry, to share Jesus, where I've thought of other areas, maybe ER medicine, to do missions, and that's something I still think about. But it's simply the one area I found I've been able to actually hear people's stories, but also, and for people to show need, but really for me to share Jesus, and not only help them with their lives, but also to help them with their children's lives as well, which is usually the goal. So that's what I'm hoping to do in the future.
It's funny because even when you you applied for med school, and you wrote something unique on your application that you were kind of hesitant about. You remember that about you want to be a doctor is what they asked
you.
You
know, and I still face that today where they asked me, why do you want to be a doctor? And I said, you know, let me be real with you. I just want to share Jesus. And that was a gamble.
That's not what people typically put on their application.
That's what you don't put. And what was so funny, the first interview I had was this guy, and Billy, you know him well because he's your pediatrician for your son.
Oh, really?
His name is Steven Yano. He was my first interview. And when he saw that, he says, wow, this guy has guts. And we ended the interview actually in a prayer. And to this day, he mentors me quite a bit. And some of the advice he has given me as a mentor has helped me so much about putting God first and putting my family, then my career as well. So that's been such a huge impact. In fact, I'm faced with that same issue again this week, where now I'm applying for residency for child psychiatry at Tripler. And what do I put on my application? Why do you want to do, you know, why do you want to do medicine? To share Jesus. And I do an interview tomorrow with actually the department staff, or who heads the department staff of psychiatry at Tripler, to decide my next 5 years.
Well, I love what you said. I mean, as you put God first, you know, He takes care of all that. And that's been the story of your family, you know, putting God first, even if you're only making $8,000 a year. And we're going to put God first and watch as God opens the doors. Because that's when you got that scholarship. I mean, over and abundantly, God's been blessing you, Josh, and your same thing with your family. But I think that story of we got to put God first. Your great-grandfather put God first in the midst of that ocean, and he got lifted back into that boat. And I wonder how many of us feel like we're just kind of floating in the ocean of life, and we just got to come to that place of making that commitment, putting Him first, and that starts this chain reaction.
Mm-hmm. You know, Billy, why don't you know you lead our listeners in a prayer? Maybe we can all pray together, because I believe this is a sacred moment, you know, a moment of decision. Decisions can change lives. Decisions before the Lord can change generations. A child, a grandchild, you know, and on and on. $8,000 a year at that time. But all of a sudden you got four of your kids graduate from Iolani School. But you know, your kids all five of them having opportunity to go to private school. You know, God provides in ways that we can't provide ourselves, you know, if we put Him first. But Billy, you know, it's a moment of decision.
Absolutely.
And I think our listeners, you know, God is speaking to their hearts in far more profound ways than we could describe verbally, but they know exactly what God is saying, or at least have a sense of what God is saying, and with whatever level of faith they have at this moment, to just put their trust in God and make a choice, it could turn the course of the unfolding of their family history in the days to come.
Yeah, He never lets us down. If you're at a place of making a decision, we just want to pray for you that you would make that decision. Maybe I'll pray in a short one, and maybe one of our guests can continue on that. So let's pray together. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that no matter what direction our lives were heading, or what direction our family lines were heading, in years past, generations past, or even just weeks or months past, God, Father, we thank you that you say when we turn to you, you can change the course of our lives into a whole new direction that will not only be a blessing to us, to generations to follow, but to the world around us. So Father, I pray for each listener that would make that decision today. Father, I pray for the courage and the strength to turn and to stick with your path and your plan, God. I pray your special grace and anointing to help us to change the course of generations that would follow after us. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful today that you not only keep your promises, Lord, but you love us so much, and you care about us so much that you intervene in our lives, and you intervene generationally. When I think about great-grandpa Bartholdus and being swept off the ship, and I realize that if he hadn't have chosen you during that time, I wouldn't even be here, because it was after that that he had 14 daughters and one son. And Lord, it just amazes me that you pay attention to us, you hear our prayers, you intervene in times of crisis when you cry, we cry out to you. And even the most unreasonable things that we ask of you, Lord, you do it to make yourself real for us, to show us that you're really there. And Lord, thank you for intervening in my life. And thank you for intervening in Joshua's life and our children, Lord. We just thank you so much for all your blessings, Lord. It's not so much even the blessing, because I've come to the point, Lord, where it just overflows. And Lord, I almost sometimes feel like telling you, you'll stop the blessings already. Enough already, Lord. But it's those blessings overflowing. And Lord, I just pray today that those things that you have blessed us with will overflow into others' lives, Lord. And other people would be blessed. And other people would come to know you and have a relationship with you that I have today, Lord. Because I know that you love them. And I love them too, Lord. And I want them to know you that way. Know you personally, Lord Jesus, and be able to rely on you and count on you and trust on you, because there's just no comparison of living a life with you and living a life on our own, Lord. It's no life on our own. We don't have it unless we submit it to you, give our life to you, and then you really give us a true life. Thank you for that, Lord, today. And I ask for your blessing upon this program and this show and all the listeners that are listening today, Lord. Lord, speak to them. Speak to their heart through these words, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. This has been a special rebroadcast of a previously recorded show featuring Bernie Vitting and his son, Dr. Joshua Vitting. Since the show, Josh did finish his medical training. He is Dr. Joshua Vitting and is greatly used by the Lord. If you'd like to learn more about our show or need prayer or want to have or find out more about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. I also have a list of partner churches as well as partner businesses who are able to help meet your needs. In John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said, "Love each other as I have loved you." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, Dr. Joshua Vitting and his father, Bernie Vitting. Until next time, along with my co-hosts, Master Sergeant Carlos Cambry, Alfredo Canencia, and Billy Lyle, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.